Welcome to Let's Get Real with Mike Robbins. Mike is a well-known keynote speaker, personal development expert, and the best-selling author of the book titled Focus on the Good Stuff and Be Yourself. Everyone else is already taken. Mike delivers life-enhancing speeches, seminars, and workshops throughout the United States and Canada, and has inspired tens of thousands through his speaking, coaching, and writing.
Hey, thanks for joining us here on Energy Talk Radio. This is Mike Robbins. You're listening to Let's Get Real with Mike Robbins. Glad you're here. Today, we're going to be talking about such an important topic, forgiveness. And this is something that I know many of us understand, at least peripherally. Of course, we know what that means and talk to other people about how important it is to forgive. But I know for me personally, it's one of these things that while I understand and have experienced many times in my life in a beautiful way, it's something I definitely struggle with and find challenging. In fact, I've got a couple situations in my life right now where there's definitely some forgiveness that is appropriate and necessary. And I notice myself still holding on to, you know, being right and righteous about my position that these people should apologize to me. I'm sure you can probably relate. So my hope is that our wonderful guest here today, my good friend, Dr. Fred Luskin, who I'm going to introduce in just a moment, can help me personally with that. And in so doing, also help all of us to learn more about how we can embrace forgiveness, the power of it, and really practice it in our lives and in our personal and spiritual practices. So let me tell you a little bit about Fred, like his bio, and then I'll tell you a little bit about him and who he is for me, and then I'll bring him on here. So Dr. Fred Luskin is the author, the best-selling author of three wonderful books, Forgive for Good, Stress-Free for Good, and Forgive for Love. And he's also the director of the Stanford Forgiveness Projects, which I hope he'll tell us even more about. He's one of the world's leading authorities on the teaching and researching of forgiveness, and he's a much sought-after speaker. He lectures throughout the United States on managing stress, developing emotional competence, and enhancing positive emotions. And he's a PhD in counseling and health psychology from Stanford, my alma mater, and he's also an associate professor at the Institute of Transpersonal Psychology. So that's a little bit about him professionally. And personally, Fred and I have become friends over the last few years, which I'm incredibly grateful for. And he's been a mentor. He's been a teacher. He's been a very dear and generous friend to me and supporter of my work and my family. So, Fred, I'm so glad you're here. Welcome to my radio show here. Thanks for joining me.
I know. It's a kick to hear you on the radio, Mike, I have to tell you.
I'm sure. You're probably sitting there going, this guy, what's he talking about?
Yeah.
Well, thanks for having me. So, I'd love it if maybe you could tell everybody a little bit about the Stanford Forgiveness Project, because I'm curious. I don't actually know as much as I'd like to know about that, and maybe that's kind of a starting point for our conversation.
Well, about 15 years ago, there was more of a like solid wall between religious ideas and scientific ideas, and people from both sides had distrust and kind of righteousness about their approach to seeing the way life is. And within that period of time, that's been breaking down because people have started to do research on the truthfulness of some of the religious spiritual values. And it was at that time, almost 15 years ago, that I thought for my dissertation, I would like to show that one of the spiritual verities was true, not just from an ethereal or a kind of new agey or even a soul perspective, but would probably be true if you measured it in a laboratory or if you really checked out whether it made a difference. And so I did a dissertation study at a time when almost nobody was researching forgiveness. And then Bill Clinton's dalliance with Monica Lewinsky emerged at a time when the culture became ready to talk about forgiveness because Bill Clinton asked for it, and his conduct was so obviously something that could require forgiveness. And
yeah.
So I became a media something because of this Stanford project that we had begun, and that opened us and me up to opportunities to do further research, to further show that forgiveness and health were related, and to then to teach it to people like all over the world.
Wow. That's cool. And what of the initial research that you did that I know you talk about in your first book, Forgive for Good, what kind of specific information or data came out of that about the impact of forgiveness?
That's a great question. And I'll tell you what we did was we took Stanford students, because that's where I was and that's what's available, who had been hurt by somebody and they hadn't resolved it. So we took, you know, all comers, graduate, undergraduate students, and then randomized them, as you should do to find differences, into a group that got a forgiveness intervention and then one that got one later on. And then you show whether the one that got the group changes faster and stronger than the one that didn't get the treatment. And, you know, that project had about 55, 60 people in it, and we were able to show, you know, reductions in hurt and anger and reductions in, you know, increases in forgiveness and confidence and compassion and spiritual kind of access. And that was done at a time when there was so little research in this domain that small project allowed us then to get bigger grants because of that small project.
That's great. And why do you think, Fred, why is it difficult for us? I mean, what makes it challenging for us to forgive? What's hard about it?
Like, there's so many answers to that. you know, no, one of the things that you could look at is there is something about having an ego, this organizing form inside of our head that kind of pushes us to succeed and be special and get what we need. That its very functioning makes it very hard for us to admit when we're wrong, to, you know, ask for absolution and not to blame other people when they make mistakes. Like, there's a quality of this ego wants us to be separate and better than others, because that's so much of its striving. You know, let my family prosper, let my career get ahead, may I be at the top of the heap. But its very function forgets that, you know, every single other person is stuck in the same pattern,
right.
And it causes us all to suffer a lot, because we end up in competition with each other, you know, rather than more of a cooperative status. So the very structure of our mind causes us to magnify problems and magnify differences and want to punish things that get in our way. So there's an elemental way that we hold the world that causes this difficulty.
Yeah.
Alongside of that, there's biology, which requires us to remember hurts and problems so that if we encounter them again, we have some past data with which to solve the problem. So, you know, if somebody you love cheats on you or lies to you, and then they do it again, well, immediately your mind opens the data bank to see, well, what did you do the last time? And how did you deal with this? And did you solve the problem so that we can either draw upon the resource or we can learn what to do to make sure it won't happen again? What happens when the problem is not solved, the mind keeps on going back and the issue keeps in the forefront as an unsolved thing. And that tends to generate, you know, anxiety, fear, anger, negative emotion, and a sense of disequilibrium. So you have biology and you have this soul thing, and then you have culture. You know, and most of the cultures in the world tend to favor themselves and their storylines over other cultures. And most people are taught within their culture to be combative, you know, to make sure that other cultures and other people don't have as much as our culture. And so there's all these forces alongside of the fact that almost nobody has been taught how to do this.
So we got a lot of cards stacked against us, so to speak, even in the process of trying to figure this out.
I think so, certainly in terms of doing it on a regular basis. So
yeah.
The example that I would use is any of us who are married or in significant partnerships. There's no way you're going to make that last without a lot of forgiveness.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, Fred. You know, we're about to take a break. When we come back from the break, I'd love to talk about that more specifically about relationships, because I know you're most recent book, Forgive for Love, was all about that. So when we come back, it'd be great to delve into talking about relationships and how we can start bringing more forgiveness there. You're listening here to Let's Get Real with Mike Robbins on Energy Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to Energy Talk Radio's informative and inspirational shows, Shifting Global Consciousness.
Energy Talk Radio, where 30% of our net profit goes to various charities. You're listening to a new voice, Energy Talk Radio. That's energytalkradio.com.
Tune in to Life Without Limitation with Mark and Daya, where we explore stories of miracles, wellness, prosperity, and enlightenment through sound meditation and transformational thought processes. The show is based on the teachings of spiritual teacher Dattatreya Shiva Baba, the YouTube guru, who inspired best-selling author Dr. Wayne Dyer to write Manifest Your Destiny. The show is hosted by Mark and Daya, who experienced miraculous recovery from HIV and AIDS over 7 years ago and survived a major heart procedure without anesthesia through meditations taught to him by Dattatreya Shiva Baba. Experience a life without limitation here on Energy Talk Radio.
Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Do you need a detour off the super highway that's leading to distress? Come to lovedetour.com. It's more than just a social network. It's a place where people who experience breakups, dating issues, divorce, or even death of a loved one can find a great place to come together and find wonderful information. If you're looking for love, join us at lovedetour.com.
Hey, welcome back to Let's Get Real with me, Mike Robbins. Appreciate you tuning in here to Energy Talk Radio. We're having a great conversation with Dr. Fred Luskin, author of Forgive for Good and co-founder and director of the Stanford Forgiveness Projects. And before we went to the break, Fred, we were talking a little bit. You were mentioning about love relationships, our intimate relationships, you know, spouse, significant other. And your book, Forgive for Love, I know focused specifically on that. Is it unique? Is there a unique kind of forgiveness as it relates to our, you know, wives and husbands and that kind of thing? Or is it all kind of the same? How is it different?
It's different in that the opportunities come up on a regular basis.
Yeah, we have lots of, yeah, that makes sense.
the grist for the mill of this is endless. Yeah. And the stakes are really high also. And the stakes being high in the sense that we spend so much time with this person and our well-being is so dependent on them that we tend not to understand the damage that our hostility brings when we don't allow our partner to be fallible as a human being.
Mm.
And so the bottom line of an understanding of forgiveness in relationship is that you married someone very imperfect.
Yes.
And you're very imperfect, and you're stumbling along, and for love to emerge, one needs to be okay with both parties' imperfections so that you're not just loving this, you know, projected need for somebody to be perfect, but you're loving an actual vulnerable, like, warts and all person. And the more we withhold that love by being judgmental and counting all the ways they've let us down, the less of a growth and safe place it is for them.
Hmm. Yeah,
and you know, I was just going to say, and over time, this is in large part what corrodes relationship.
Yeah, so it's just that buildup of the resentment and the unresolved stuff. It's funny, we're talking about this actually as I was leaving the house to come into the studio today. Michelle and I, my wife and I, got into a little argument and sort of snapped at each other a little. And the babysitter was there who's going to be taking care of the girls. And Michelle gave me this look and sort of said, knock it off, because, you know, the babysitter was there. So we had this sort of uncomfortable exchange that didn't feel very good as I left. And I was driving, and about 5 minutes into my drive, I thought, okay, I have to call her. But what was great about having the conversation with her afterwards, I noticed once we got on the phone and we ended up both apologizing to each other because we'd been a little snippy. We actually, Fred, had this fantastic conversation about something totally unrelated to what we were arguing about, but it was almost like the argument and then the resolution of it opened up a space for us to communicate more deeply. Is that one of the many benefits of us practicing forgiveness in our relationships?
Absolutely. And Mike, it is essential to be able to be crabby with your partner.
Yeah, because we wouldn't last very long otherwise, right?
Right, and it's essential to allow them to be crabby with you.
Yeah.
And it is absolutely okay to lose cool and to be difficult. I mean, not obviously as a religious practice like every day, but the key is, and the bigger picture is, are you, Mike, safe? Like, does she hold enough space where your flaws are not perceived just as a personal threat to her, and not that she's, like, arming weapons, but that she can be both gentle with your failures and humanity as well as point them out to you? And when you both apologize, it shows that, you know, yeah, you're safe with me because I own, like, my rawness, and I accept your owning of yours, and so you get a mutual affirmation that this is your home in this world.
Mm. Yeah, that makes sense. You know, I got a question emailed to me specifically about this, and the question asked, what do I do, how do I forgive someone when I feel like they've wronged me? Sort of, you know, I think the subtext is like, I'm waiting for them to apologize and then I'll forgive them kind of thing. What do we do in that situation, whether it's with our significant other or just in general? How do people practice forgiveness when they feel like they've really been hurt and damaged, so to speak?
Well, part of it is to deeply acknowledge that you've been hurt. There is some like sense sometimes that if I'm a spiritual person or I'm trying, then I'm not going to be wounded or vulnerable like everybody else, and that's very silly. So you want to acknowledge it both to yourself and some friends, that you don't want to keep this inside as a shame, but you also don't want to acknowledge it to everybody and put it on your website. So you want to have some balance between need for support and affirmation and the dignity of both you and whoever it is that hurts you, that they're both competing forces that need to be accommodated.
Mm.
Then when you're somewhat clear about how you feel and you've gotten some support about it, it can be very useful to see if you can talk it out with the person who hurt you. You may or may not. If you can talk it out and they acknowledge their harm and they apologize, well, that should be enough. But if you talk it out and they don't acknowledge it, or they insist that you're the cause as much as they are, then it becomes a dual process of forgiveness and negotiation.
Mm.
Sometimes the way we see it is not the only way that it can be viewed, and we have maybe over-examined our point of view and under-heard theirs.
You mean we're not always right?
Yeah, that's another way of putting it.
Yeah, that one's tough for me to understand sometimes. I get the concept, but in reality, it's a little more challenging sometimes, you know.
Well, you know what's really amazing when you think about that? I mean, at a very poignant level, like being right is important, but it's called necessary but not sufficient, which is, like, you can be right with your friends, but being right isn't as important often as being a good friend or a caring person. So you can be right, and there's still a more important value.
Yeah.
So yes, you may be right and you may be wrong, but there's also the relationship that needs to be attended to.
Yeah. Yeah, that definitely makes sense. And in terms of, we're talking about love relationships, which for anyone listening, if you haven't had a chance to read any of Dr. Luskin's books, you really want to check them out. Forgive for Good, Stress-Free for Good, and then the one we've been talking about more specifically, Forgive for Love, which came out most recently about relationships. What can people do in their relationships if they have been, you know, significantly hurt or there has been a violation of trust, someone has cheated or been unfaithful? We were doing a show more recently about money, talking about getting real about money. A lot of people emailed in, Fred, about, you know, not sharing all the truth about their financial situation with their significant other. And you know, some of the problems that can bring up. So what happens when there is a major violation of trust, not just the day-to-day you get on my nerves, but like some of the big stuff? How can people work on that and really forgive it? Is it possible to really totally forgive someone who's cheated on you and have the love and the trust be, you know, reinstated fully?
Well, of course. I mean, because we've all seen that happen.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that is good to remember in a situation like that is that you want to understand that there's two problems, not one. One problem is what happened that I have to deal with. The second problem is my emotional experience and reactivity.
Mm.
So you may have the first problem appraised well, which is this person lied to me, they cheated on me, they stole money from me. They could do awful things. So that one you may see well. But then you may erupt or stalk around or be vile yourself or, you know, not realize like how out of control you are or how much harm and violence you're doing. And when you put those two together and say that your behavior is the only cause of my misbehavior, then you make it almost impossible to deal with it.
Mm.
But if you can separate those problems out to some degree and say, yeah, I have a real issue and you have something that you need to be held accountable for and I'm still responsible for me, then it's much easier to deal with the issue because you haven't overlaid an excessive emotional reactivity on top of a legitimate problem.
Yeah. So it sounds like it's really about taking some ownership of our own reaction in addition to dealing with what happened. But those two things kind of get tangled up with each other a lot of times when it's really emotional.
And it makes sense short term. So like if you come home and you find out that your house has been robbed, then, you know, you're not sitting there meditating right away to calm yourself down, get mad and throw things or whatever. It's just that as time moves on, the self-control piece or the dealing with it has to become more important than just rehashing the wrong. And what most people do to make it worse is they lose self-control, blame it on the wrong, and then think that the other person has to soothe their upset, not just make amends for the wrong.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's too much of somebody unless they want to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's, you're talking about it. It's not the easiest approach. It's probably why a lot of us don't do it. And if you're just joining us here, we're talking to Dr. Fred Luskin about forgiveness. And Fred, how about people, you know, I talk to a lot of people about relationships in a variety of different ways, but in terms of love relationships, romantic relationships, significant other relationships that we're talking about, for a lot of folks, it's difficult once they've, you know, been divorced or they've been had a relationship end in a very painful way to be able to move into a new relationship without bringing that old relationship with them. What can people do to really forgive their partner, their ex-husband, wife, and themselves so they can move into the next relationship without all that baggage?
A lot of good questions in that. One of them is, do I want to risk the possibility of being hurt again?
Mm.
Because when you've been hurt once, I mean, and almost anybody, like if you haven't, by the time you're a certain age and you've been in a relationship, you're just not paying attention.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's like, duh. But you have to ask yourself a legitimate question. Is it worth the risk? Because all relationships may fail. I mean, there's no guarantee in relationship. And the prize of having someone who chooses to love you, most of us assume is worth the risk.
Hmm.
Still a risk. I mean, they could meet somebody, you know, they like more than you, or they could die, or they could get bored, or they could have a profound midlife crisis. There are many things that can make them less close to you. And when you partner with somebody, what you're doing is saying, I take the risk of trying to love you. So after a hurt, one of the great questions that would be helpful to anybody is ask, am I willing to risk this again?
Mm.
If I'm not, I probably should wait till I'm willing to. That I may have to, you know, harden up and get stronger and maybe even become more flexible about life before I risk this again. So that that's one of the places that I'm not sure people are educated enough about it. The second one is when we talk about trusting other people, we put other people in a strange light, because even though people may make certain promises to us, they can't guarantee that they're going to honor those promises for the rest of their lives. And one of the things that we forget is that almost never will somebody do something against their interests to support your interests. So if you're with a husband who's not happy and he cheats on you simply because 27 years ago he told you he wouldn't, to spare you, that's not as common as, well, wait a second, I'm unhappy, this feels right, and I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And so one of the other things that people who have gone through pain and matured a little from it realize that, well, one of the things that I really need to check in is, can I trust myself? Am I strong enough, and do I have enough personal power that I can handle what happens mostly, and I can articulate for myself and be assertive? Like, those are the key skills, rather than kind of passively saying, can I trust somebody else? And so I'm always coaching people to get stronger inside and to understand what they need to learn, rather than having that same old kind of helpless attitude with a hope that somebody else won't blast me again.
Yeah, that makes sense. And it seems as though a lot of this would come back to our relationship with ourselves. So, and where does self-forgiveness intersect with forgiving other people?
You know, these are huge questions. there's two answers to that. One is, in some ways, it's completely independent. That there are some people who are great at forgiving themselves, so anything they do is fine. And but you cross them, and you know they hire a hitman.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely. I know a few people like that. Yeah.
Hey, there are people with great self-forgiveness and no other forgiveness.
Yes.
And there are people who have a lot of other forgiveness, more women than men, who are so tough on themselves, so tough on themselves. And so there is that quality is not always related. I would say in the middle, probably the middle half, they're more linked.
Okay.
That some people are better at forgiving themselves. You know, they're just better at giving themselves a break, and they're a little tighter with other people. And some people are a little tighter with themselves, but a little better with other people. And those kind of people can be taught very easily to practice what they're not as good at in very small, safe ways. So if you're not so good at at forgiving yourself, but like just to give you a nothing example that I did today, I'm taking an online class, and I left the textbook for the class twice in my local gym. Last night I left it there, today I picked it up again, and then I left today and, left it there again, picked it up again. And there's a part of me that's, shouting in my head, you asshole. once it's fine, two, what's wrong with you?
Yes.
That's a absolutely nothing moment to practice self-forgiveness. There's no cost. Yeah. It's just practice. And I think ultimately what I would say about all of these positive qualities is the more we practice them in easy situations, the more they'll be available in different difficult situations. So getting back to you and Michelle, the more you practice forgiving her the smallest, things that irritate you, the easier it will be if and when some of her bigger flaws shows up or she makes a mistake, because you'll have developed that skill and muscle. The other thing that comes out of that is when you practice forgiving smaller things, then when something really needs to be confronted, very little baggage that stops you from just confronting it.
Wow, that's, I appreciate you saying that. I just had, I'm going to sound like Oprah, an aha moment. But, that idea that if we practice on the little things, which are probably easier for us to forgive, that when the big ones come up, we actually have more practice, more ability to do that. I love that. Thanks for...
Well, just think about that. I mean, really, and the marriage is the significant relationship's the easiest to think about. Like, everybody's got stuff that's quirky, that, maybe they're a slob, or maybe they sleep too late, or they don't take care of the kids exactly the way you would want. They're problems, but they're not big problems. So if we get into the habit of just smiling and saying, hey, that's them. I chose them. I made a great choice overall, so I'm just not going to sweat this stuff.
Yeah.
Then the one time a month where they do something that might actually really need your, like, you know, dealing with it,
yeah,
you're not bogged down with all this little stuff, so you can just deal with it.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. You know, we're going to go to another break here, and when we come back from the break, Fred, I'm hoping we can talk a little bit about how all this plays into some of the stress people might be feeling related to what's been going in the economy, as well as, you know, some specific things people can do to start practicing and enhancing their capacity for forgiveness. We're listening, we're talking to Dr. Fred Luskin about forgiveness here on Let's Get Real with Mike Robbins on Energy Talk Radio. We'll be back right after this break.
Where are the dreams that we once had? This is the time to bring them back.
Thanks for listening to Energy Talk Radio's informative and inspirational shows, Shifting Global Consciousness. Our fun and inspirational talk shows brighten your day, while show hosts and sponsors enjoy the experience of creating a more peaceful, joyful, and beautiful world together with our listeners. 30% of the net proceeds from Energy Talk Radio go to charities. This month, we're sponsoring the Tripura Foundation.
Please tune in to Coffee Meditations with Alice Moore, a fun and entertaining program defining what being healthy really means and how to do that in our modern world. The focus is on how to take your health seriously, but not too seriously that you don't do anything. Tune in to get practical food suggestions and meditation tips. Hear interviews with cutting-edge health counselors and healers in the Bay Area and beyond. Hosted by Alice Moore, certified holistic health counselor, mind sound technology teacher, and performing artist. A graduate of the Institute for Integrative Nutrition in New York City and Boston University School for the Arts. She is passionate about demystifying health for anyone who wants to be happy, joyful, and free. Please visit our schedule page to learn when you can listen to Coffee Meditations with Alice Moore. Tune in to The Power of the Possible with award-winning author and relationship expert Ariella McCarthy, cutting to the core of every issue and breaking apart many long-held beliefs that keep us from creating the life we claim we want but have been unable to create. Tune in each day at 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. Ariella explains, we are not here to save anyone. We are here to love, to heal ourselves, and to hold the light for others. And then the light will point the way.
Thank you for listening to Energy Talk Radio. Just by listening, you are part of our collaboration to rid the world of hunger, thirst, and poverty. Energy Talk Radio produces and broadcasts inspirational shows helping listeners on the road to personal growth, to become a part of the global transformation towards a new golden age. Energy Talk Radio is at the forefront of innovation, engaging in a conscious business model of helping people in need by directly supporting charities by donating 30% of their net profit to organizations that help eradicate hunger, educate children, and empower people, ending the cycle of extreme poverty and suffering. We hope you will join us in our endeavor, shifting consciousness while making a difference with fun and inspirational talk shows on EnergyTalkRadio.com.
Galileo's head was on the block. The crime was looking...
Hey, welcome back to Let's Get Real with me, Mike Robbins, here on Energy Talk Radio. Appreciate you tuning in. We're talking to Dr. Fred Luskin, one of the... world's leading experts in forgiveness, and also happens to be my good friend and mentor. Fred, so glad that you're here. You know, I was saying before the break, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about was how does all of this, we're talking about forgiveness, but how does this impact what's going on with so many people these days? I'm sure talking to you, talking to me, talking about the stress that they're feeling with what's happening in the economy and the world, and people seem more stressed out than ever. Is there a connection here with our ability to forgive and our ability to be stress-free for good, as one of your books is all about?
You know, I've never been asked that question, actually, which, after all these years, is a novel thing.
Hey, I'm glad I could be the first at something here.
No, that was, that's an interesting question. I think if you and I, you know, met and yacked, it would be very clear that there's something in the air where people feel unsafe.
Yes.
You know, there's just something where... I think a lot of people hoped that when Obama was elected, it would change that experience, and it does not appear to have. And there's just a sense of we don't really know where things are going. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's a real uncertainty, and one of the things that I have learned about forgiveness is that you're forgiving things that hurt us.
Mm.
And we're acknowledging at some level our vulnerability. And I think the same could apply a little with this economic situation. I don't want to overdraw the analogy, but in the same way that we can be vulnerable to our lover, you know, lying to us, or vulnerable to our boss firing us, we're vulnerable to the macro forces of, you know, credit swap derivatives and all the other greed and craziness that took over our culture. And one of the ways that these are linked is you want to be careful not to get too hard.
Mm.
That you want to practice things that keep you softer so that, like, either resentment or bitterness or just a generalized, like, harshness don't become normal.
Yeah.
And that's one of the concerns, you know, that I had, certainly as a forgiveness teacher living in the Bay Area. You know, I noticed how hard people became to George Bush.
Mm.
You know, their response to him was to tighten up and to be hard.
Yeah.
And I think there are other responses that human beings have, more tolerance, more, say, helping each other, more kindness, the softer responses. And so I would like to draw that parallel to the question you asked.
Yeah, I think that's a great one. I think, you know, being able to, we did a whole show recently about politics in that regard, using it as what if we could relate to politics and what's happening in the world right now as a personal or spiritual practice.
Exactly.
Because there's a lot of opportunity. You know, you were talking earlier about a lot of opportunity for us to forgive with our significant other. A lot of opportunity, I think, for us to forgive as it relates to, or practice forgiveness as it relates to, what's going on in the world. And, you know, you bring up President Obama. There's clearly a lot of people in this country, and, you know, people listening to this show, Fred, could be listening from other countries as well, but people in the United States and around the world who maybe don't like him, don't like what he's saying, what he's doing. And clearly we've been seeing some people who are very adamantly opposed to some of the stuff he's been proposing. But then there are many people, and I put myself in this category, who were very excited and optimistic about him being elected and have seen some things happen or not happen so far and been disappointed. So I think wherever we fall on the political spectrum right now, there's a lot of opportunity for us to forgive, you know, and really practice that. What about our health? Because I know a lot of the focus of Forgive for Good and a lot of the work that you've done in research over the years talks about how this impacts our health and well-being. So is it really bad for our health to hold a grudge?
Well, I mean, let me just give you the simplest response, which is you can be walking down the street and you can be thinking, wow, I can't wait to get home to my kids, or, you know, I'm lucky to live in such a beautiful climate. Or you can think, oh, crap, somebody lied to me. So when you think more positive, loving things, like I can't wait to be home to my kids, or, you know, I'd love to live in this beautiful place, every cell in your body responds to that positive thought emotion, and it has a certain, like, biochemical wavelength and energy, and just all the systems of your body respond with a relaxation.
Mm.
You tighten up because, oh, I just don't want that to happen. Oh, how could they do that? Or what was wrong with my mother? Or I hope I don't have to deal with this when I get home. Then your body has the opposite reaction.
Mm.
A grudge is the practice of that kind of tightness and harshness relentlessly, often over time. And so when you meet somebody who's 35 or 40 years old and they still don't like what their parents do, you can almost see their bodies respond instantly to the second they even start thinking about their parents. You know, their eyes will furrow and their neck may tighten up and you see their chest change. And you just think of all the practice that they've had of that. That's simply stressing oneself out over something that won't change. And over time, that has an impact on whatever the weakest organ system is in the body.
Yeah, that makes sense. And how do we start to shift this? You know, because for many people listening, and look, again, not to go against what you just said and blame my own parents, but I got to tell you, Fred, I come from a long line of grudge holders on both sides of my family. So it's like in my DNA, you know, and I get to practice that all the time. So for any of us who maybe can relate to that or find we're pretty good at holding on to resentment and frustration with other people, what are some baby steps or even some bigger ones that we can start to take to actually practice being better at forgiving?
The simplest one is to make sure that you breathe into your body deeply appreciation of your blessings. That unforgiveness is really a saying that life didn't give me enough. So I have to complain about it. And that's really all it is. In your marriage, it's the person's not good enough to satisfy me, so let me bring this problem up to them. You know, so far the slate is not weighted enough in their favor, so I need to complain about this. Same thing with your life. I mean, and I'm not objecting to complaining. I'm just talking about something chronic.
Right.
So you have to balance that scale. And the easiest way to balance that scale is to not only remember, but practice a kind of reverential deep breathing that allows the full body openness to the blessings of life. And you know, that means when you're picturing your kids or your friends, that you take 15, 20 seconds or 50, you know, and sit with it or walk with it and open to it. So it's not just a fleeting thought. Because when you're mad at somebody or when you're a grudge holder, because of the biological survival mechanism of remembering problems, your body will guarantee that every single, you know, chemical messenger in your body will get that message. But a moment of thank you doesn't have to bring that same chemical change. It has to be engendered.
Yeah.
And so if there's somebody that you're having a grudge with, let's just say, and they're close to you, then you want to practice remembering their good points. If it's somebody that's not close to you, you want to remember the good points of somebody who supports you in dealing with this problem. If it's a general life problem, you want to count your blessings. Even if it's nothing more than, you know, walking outside and feeling the sunshine that's freely given, or when you look at your food, you remember the blessing of having, you know, food.
Yeah.
And that rebalances kind of the scales a little. I mean, you're asking for the simplest steps. That's the simplest step.
So focusing on, yeah, appreciation, yeah, speaking my language. I think that's really great. You know, as I opened the show and was sharing a little bit with everybody and, you know, with you, that I've got a couple situations in my own life. I actually have two people that I've been close with who I've had a little bit of a falling out. And it's interesting, in both cases, two men in my life who don't know each other, but I'm close with both of them, or had been, both basically said to me in various ways, I want to take a break, almost like we were dating and they sort of broke up with me. At least that was how I reacted to it. And it was weird, Fred, because it happened over the course of like 2 weeks, sort of back to back. And it's been, for me personally, it's been sort of humbling and painful. And I've just watched myself and my reaction to it as I've learned an enormous amount, but there are definitely moments where I find myself getting really angry or having these conversations in my head. When they finally call me, here's what I'm going to say. And it's just like the whole thing is almost insane at some level, but I just find myself challenged. You know, it's been kind of a breakthrough for me not to call, because I would normally, like, we have to talk about this until we work it out, but wanting to honor their requests of not wanting to be in communication with me. But it's been very uncomfortable for me, and I've struggled to really be able to practice forgiving them. So any additional tips you have for me? Because I imagine people listening can also relate, even though the circumstances may be different in their own lives.
I'm going to say something. I know you, Mike.
Yes.
And you're a nice guy, generally, and I know you try to be attentive in relationship. That's part of what you bring. And so I know for you personally, a rejection like that would be harder than for someone who didn't value relationships so much.
Mm.
So for you, this is a core identity question and could bring up some legitimate apprehension. Maybe I'm not as good at this, or you know what I mean? Like, maybe I'm serious.
Yeah.
So I do that personally, so I can say that. The bigger picture is, one, it's okay to feel vulnerable and frustrated and even angry at them for a while because they have wounded you.
Mm.
And you want to honor that part of you, too.
Okay.
This is a legitimate wounding. You're somebody who works at it. And I know for me, you know, you sent me, you know, hellos and thank yous. And so I know that you do that. And still, and here's the piece, even when we behave well, people still won't always be nice to us.
Right. Right.
And so that's the piece where we have to feel the woundedness. And I will use the word grief. I think before you want to worry about forgiveness, you want to feel the grief of the wound for a while.
Mm.
Part of that grief is anger, is a little bit of self-examination, and is a little bit of anxiety about, wow, you know, people reject me even though I work really hard at being a good guy. So that's for everybody. You know, feel it, examine it, hold it, and then after hashing it around for a while, then you can start to think about, well, what do I do to get past it?
Wow, that's great, because I do think, and again, I imagine a lot of people can relate to this listening, that there's a judgment I then have about I shouldn't get upset and I should be able to forgive and I should, you know, like jumping to that place instead of hearing that piece about feeling the grief. Because that also, I think, relates. I've heard people say this and I've had this experience too. You know, when there's a significant wound, a significant, violation of trust, that, you know, doesn't work out. The person cheats and then you say, I don't want to be in that relationship. Like, how do we maneuver through that? The whole sort of, you know, forgiving the unforgivable. I don't, you know what I mean? When the stuff is really, really big, because I'm sure you've dealt with and coached and counseled people over the years who are like serious, you know, people who've dealt with murder and other things. How do we deal with stuff on that kind of a level?
Yeah, because that's much more deeper and gets at the absolute core of life. I mean, you'll get over these friendships, and one of them or two of them may even come back over time.
Yeah.
So you understand it's not a long-term crisis.
Sure.
This is a good place to delve into because forgiveness is a part of the grief cycle.
Mm.
It's the resolution of the grief cycle, but it doesn't suppress it or supplant it. It's, wow, I'm human, I'm hurt, I'm vulnerable, I'm scared, I'm lonely, I'm angry, I'm human. And that's part of being human, is losing things and having things come out badly and, you know, be hurt for no reason and, you know, maybe even, God forbid, you know, having somebody you love killed in political violence. I mean, I've dealt with all that stuff, but no spiritual bypass for humanity.
Mm.
And so the first step of all this is feel the pain and what happened and share it with some trusted people and maybe look for support and find people who have dealt with it successfully so you can, you know, get some ideas. But it's a mess for a while.
Yeah.
You know, when we did an Ireland project and, you know, people were coming there who have had their sons murdered, we're not going to tell them, well, just, you know, 2 months from now you're going to forgive it and it's all history. It's maybe 5 years from now it'll be, you know, an opening for you. But to say that you're not going to be wounded is insanity, and think it doesn't take effort is equally insane. But there is always, and this is how I frame it, like you look and look and look at the pain and the wound and the loss, and then over time that changes to, well, how do I absorb this into who I am and how do I move forward?
Hmm.
You won't do that without forgiveness.
Yeah.
Did that answer that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I love the part because what it's sounding like I'm hearing you say is it's really important for us to feel the pain, for us to experience that, and that going through all the stages of grief, that the resolution point is where we come to when we can actually authentically forgive.
That's it.
Yeah. And I think a lot of us on our personal journey, on our spiritual journey in an inauthentic way, and I speak from experience of this, will often try to jump to there because we want to seem so evolved and enlightened when we're really skipping some very important steps. And that's part of why it doesn't work. You know, it's one thing to give lip service to it, another thing to actually do it. You know, Fred, we have just a couple minutes here left, and I'm curious, you know, in addition to people picking up copies of any of your books, Forgive for Good, Stress Free for Good, or Forgive for Love, or visiting your website, learningtoforgive.com. Are there other ways that people can connect with your work or with you specifically, like workshops or things you have coming up?
I do some workshops, and they will be listed on my website. You know, I've done some small amounts of kind of individual work with people. More of my work is in group kind of teaching format. Yeah. So, like this Friday, I'll be teaching at UCLA, and, you know, there'll be a couple of hundred therapists there. And last Friday, I was at UC Berkeley, and there were, you know, that kind of thing. You know, what I'm looking at, and I know that I know you well enough to know you're interested in peace.
Mm-hmm.
And this is probably a good, you know, ending to this, is my interest now in forgiveness has come a little from just the personal to, like, the quality of who we are in this planet and how we're co-creating the energy of it.
Mm.
And I believe that forgiveness is one of the central qualities, as I understand it, in peacemaking.
Yeah.
That we have to learn as a species to accept our wounds and our losses without wanting to hurt somebody else. And we don't need to make an enemy all the time. Like that's what human beings tend to do, is they make enemies of people that hurt them. And that's not as necessary as we think. And for me, traveling the United States, I used to talk about all the time, the red states, blue states, how, what a silly thing that, you know, we're in one country, and yet we polarized and made the other side wrong so much.
Yeah.
And how is that going to help the evolution of goodness or whatever it is, peacefulness or kindness? And so I'm looking at it that way, too, as a really central form of people around the world learning to make peace.
Wow, that's beautiful. And from your perspective and doing the work you've been doing, do you feel like we're moving more towards that or away from that at this moment in our evolution?
Well, I you know, the deepest answer to the question is, how would I know? I mean, how would
I? Yes.
Now, how would I know? I wasn't around for all the times to know the forces. I will say, though, that if you look at this world as it is now, there are some things that are profoundly good. You know, there are, like in the United States, you look at the freedoms and the opportunities available to people are staggering.
Hmm.
A lack of, you know, the isms, like the relative lack of sexism and racism and religionism, and the freedom that people have to be who they are is, in this world's history, remarkable.
Yeah.
And then also you look at the United States, where, you know, we're taking 25% of the world's resources and half the world is starving to death and we don't care. And so I don't know how to answer. You understand what I'm saying?
I do. It's quite a big question to ask you with 30 seconds left in our conversation.
Well, even if I had 2 hours,
I know. Yeah.
So I think the thing to do is, obviously, you know, you're joined with a radio station or a radio network that's trying to seed the world with that vision of goodness.
Yeah.
I ultimately, that's all we can try to do, is do our piece in our way to try to heal whatever it is that we can heal.
Yeah. Well, Fred, thank you so much for joining us here. Everybody listening, we've been talking to Dr. Fred Luskin, best-selling author of Forgive for Good, Forgive for Love, and Stress Free for Good. Pick up copies of his books. They're fantastic. And check out his work online at learningtoforgive.com. You've been listening to Let's Get Real with Mike Robbins. I really want to thank you for joining us today. As always, you can stay in touch with me at my website at mike-robbins.com. Make it a fantastic day. and we'll hopefully connect with you soon.
Hey, Mike.
Where are the dreams that we once had?
Thanks for listening to Let's Get Real with Mike Robbins. For more information about Mike's work, his seminars, and his best-selling books, please visit www.mike-robbins.com.
Do we forget or forget? There's a whole lot of life waiting to live when one day we're brave enough to talk with conviction on the heart. Down your streets, I'd walk alone.